Hello! Last episode, we had a bit before the bit before the theme music. Well, this episode, I am the bit before the bit before the bit before the theme music. So I'm here to present to you the bit...
Hello!
Who are you?
I'm the bit before the bit before the bit before the bit before the theme music.
Well, you're late. You should have been here before me. That's your role.
No, yeah, but I was in the toilet. I'm really sorry about that. Can I do my bit now?
Well, no, you can't do it now because you've missed your opportunity. So I'm going to do my bit. You'll have to wait till next episode.
But I want to do it now.
You're not doing it now. My job is to introduce the bit before the theme music.
Well, he's not here anyway. He's in the toilet. I just saw him go in there. I think he's doing it number two.
Well, this is not good. How are we ever going to get to the bit before the theme music?
Well, I could be the bit before the theme music.
You can't be... the bit before the theme music. That's not your job.
I'll just do it anyway. I'll say the bit.
No, you won't. You're not saying that.
I'm saying it. I don't care. Run the theme music!
This is anarchy.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Did you miss me? Of course you didn't. It hasn't been that long, has it? You might even be binge listening, and you just like heard me like a few seconds ago. Yeah, I'm still here. I guess. I don't know what you're doing. You might not even be listening. But if you're not listening, how can you hear this? That makes no sense. Right, this might be your first time listening to the show. It's Christmas. You know, some people only listen at Christmas. You may never have heard it before. And now it's started, you might be thinking, well, I wish I'd never heard it at all. But let me explain a little bit about the show. What happens is, I shout at a microphone for about 40 minutes to an hour. And then we all go home. And it's all to do with Christmas. You might enjoy it. Speaking of which, I got a fantastic email. Got to read this one actually, boy. Oh, hang on, we haven't done the interactive bit. Should we do the interactive bit? Here it comes. Merry Christmas! Thank you very much. And scene. That was a good one. You played your role perfectly. Right, let me read this email out. Have a listen to this. This came from Brick Keen. I've no idea where he lives. He's put, I listened to your podcast. Might listen again. Maybe not. You can't tell me what to do. That was one of the best emails I've ever received. Thank you so much for that, Brit. Made my day, that one did. And he's right, I can't tell him what to do. Or I could tell him what to do, but he's not necessarily going to do it. Yeah, and he's also sent another email and it says this. This is my favourite. I think he's talking about podcasts, which I don't know why mine's not his favourite, but that's fine. And it's called Christmas Stories by Tobias Sturt. What it is each series comes out each year, 24 episodes in each series, and it's a 24-part story. Yeah, I listened to one of them, really enjoyed it. And he's recommended another one called Dead Vent Calendar. And I'll probably check that one out next week when I'm working. Yeah, thanks very much for that, Brit. I probably got loads of other things to talk about, but I can't remember what they are. And we're that close to Christmas. If you send me an email now, I'll try and reply. But I'm pretty useless, even like when I'm not busy. So when I'm busy, you know, don't expect much from me. Anyway, we've got a packed show and it's not just me talking. I've got loads of people involved in this one. And we're going to start with this. So this story comes from Timothy Dumont, and it's a blinder. It really is. Have a listen to this. I'm just going to read it out as it came in. A number of years ago, I was working at a summer camp and was the head counsellor for a group of about 20 to 25 13 and 14-year-old boys. We had so much fun playing dodgeball, swimming, and doing all sorts of campy things. Each week, the camp had a theme like country fair, knights and princesses, or at the end of the July, we would always have Christmas in July week, with fake snowball fights, white elephant exchanges, Christmas carols, and even a Christmas nativity pageant. One morning, I was teaching some kind of lesson, and said something along the lines of, "But just like Santa, that's just pretend. Sure it's fun to tell the stories, but we all know he isn't real." And then I moved on. That night, I got a phone call from the director of the camp, saying, "What did you do? I just got off the phone with Billy's," name changed to protect the innocent, "Billy's mum, and she is livid." The director proceeded to tell me that she wasn't mad at me, but that I was never allowed to talk about Santa like that at camp again. I swear I didn't mean to cause trouble, but I was, and still am, just blown away that there was 13 and 14 year old boys who still believed in Santa. For goodness sake, they were all going into high school in the fall. Anyway, that's how I ruined Christmas for someone that year. Wow. 13 years old, actually believing still though. I get that there's a lot of 13 year olds out there that pretend they believe just to keep their mum and dad happy and just to get more presents at Christmas. But to actually still believe, that's something else, isn't it? 13, you're a grown man at that age. When I was that age, I was out working 7 days a week. Probably not. Wow. Great story, Timothy. Thanks for sending that through. Now, boys and girls, it's time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
It is always important to remember at this time of year that there are better things in the world than just alcohol. But as we like to say at the Tiki Bar, at least alcohol compensates for not getting any of them. So, this is our season. It is our time. It's our jam. We can now fly our freak flag of green and red colors proudly. Every night is filled with festive music and favorite sentimental Christmas movies, like Home Alone. In fact, I was watching it tonight. There is a notable scene with Buzz, Kevin, and Cousin Rod all watching Old Man Marley out the window. Buzz says that he is a serial killer called the South Bend Shovel Slayer, and that he kept his victims in a bucket of salt to mummify them. Now Rod suggests that maybe Marley's just shoveling and salting the sidewalks to be nice, but Buzz, he disagrees. However, I was distracted by the giant Brit signal in my mind flashing in the night skies. For you see, what we call a sidewalk in the US is known as pavement in the UK. What? Yes. Whereas we think of pavement as being the surface of the street, not the sidewalk, our British friends think quite the opposite. The irony is the term sidewalk comes from and was rejected by the English. This is just another example of us colonists either trying to be contraire, or it's Noah Webster again trying to make American English into something uniquely different when it's not. Now this all seems pretty confusing, so we need to turn to the history for help. The word pavement comes from the Latin word pavimentum, which means a trodden down surface that is beaten firm, and the old French word paven, which is to cover with blocks of stone, tiles, and similar hard material set regularly and firmly in place. The original use of the word was to describe where people walked and how the earth was trodden down. The story is that the Romans thought the Anglo-Saxon roads were little more than muddy tracks. The legions on the march were getting showered in mud by passing chariots. They decided to create an area at the side of the road designed exclusively for those walking. The sides of the roads were lined with thick stones known as paving stones to lift the walkway out of the muck. They became known as pavements because of this. Eventually, the roads would also be covered with cobblestones. But the pavement name stuck even after the entire road could be considered paved. By the 1300s, pavement was used to mean a footpath along the street or road that is usually raised above the level of the road surface. The UK term is really a description of the material used to make the walkway by the side of the road, whereas the US term is more of a description of how the walkway is used by the side of that road. The word sidewalk first appeared in use in the 18th century and is simply a combination of the terms side and walk, which is supposed to describe its purpose, a place to walk on the side of the road. Although in the UK, they argue that the word sounds like you need to walk sideways. Anyway, it's time for me to hit the pavement and sidestep my way out of here. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Well, that was another blinding one from Bob Baker, wasn't it? Fantastic work, Bob. The first thing that popped in my head when he started talking about pavement is there's a band from the States based in California, and they're called Pavement. And that instantly popped in my head and I thought, I wonder why they're called Pavement. Do they name themselves after our word for sidewalk? I don't know. Anyway, great work, Bob. He's going to be back again in a bit. But now I'm going to do this, whether you like it or not. Boys and girls, this is one of my favourite Christmas traditions. I started it the first year I did the podcast, and we've done it every year since. I'm going to speak now to a lovely lady called Shelley Arnold and her husband, Frank, and they have got the most incredible Christmas village. If I had their Christmas village in my house, I'd have to live outside my house. That's how big it is. And I want to try and describe it as best I can. It's all raised up, about sort of 4 foot off the ground, and it's got different areas and different themes. They've got like New York here. They've got like the Griswold house, and they've got bits from A Christmas Story and also bits from It's a Wonderful Life. There's so much on there. Now, I will put a whole bunch of pictures up on Facebook. So maybe while you're listening to this, you could get up my Facebook page and have a gander at those pictures and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. The only problem is, well, two things really. One, the recording isn't that great, so I had Robin and Juno, my two little girls, with me while we were chatting, but you can't hear them because they were stood next to me and the microphone wasn't picking up a single word they said. Shelley pointed it out about halfway through, so you might hear a bit of the girls, not a lot. And that's a letdown because I know a lot of you prefer listening to the girls than to me. And the other thing is, obviously, we're talking about something that you can't see. So just either get the pictures up on Facebook or close your eyes and imagine this glorious miniature Christmas village. Here's our interview. Boys and girls, we've got two special guests, well, four special guests. I've got the wonderful Shelley Arnold and Frank Arnold. And also helping me discuss their Christmas village, we have
Robin
and
Juno.
Yeah. So let's have a look at this village then. How's it doing this year? Let's see.
It's doing good. We gotta try to figure out how to get you turned around. There it is.
Look at that.
And here's my birthday gift right here.
Oh, there they are, right at the front. Look at that.
Right there in the front. So what do we have new this year, Frank?
Obviously that's the crowning glory. The
three
girls skipping.
What else do we have new? We have Clark Griswold with the chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we watched that on Friday night, didn't we, Juno?
Yeah.
National Lampoon.
And then we have Ralphie and his dad with the flat tire right here.
There it is. There we see.
And then we have the ghost in the cemetery.
Oh, wow. So who's that then?
That's the cemetery from Bedford Falls. So that's just a ghost in the cemetery.
Well, you just added the ghost, did you?
There was actually where we got a lot of stuff. They have Halloween villages. So they had a ghost for Halloween village, and we just sort of incorporated it into ours. Yeah.
We went to Bronner's again.
Oh, you did?
That's where we got these pieces that we're showing you, the new pieces.
So is this the same setup as last year, or have you moved stuff around?
It's a little bit different. A couple of things I moved around to make the flow a little nicer. Moved out a couple of pieces because I have a couple of pieces that are on my Christmas list.
So what have you got rid of then?
I got rid of the boat works because I wanted to move Ralphie's school closer to the front so you could see it easier. And I got rid of the diner because it was really hard to place because it was round.
Oh, I see.
So I don't think there's anything else that's too different from last year, is there, Frank?
I don't think so.
Was the fairground, that's in a different place this time though, isn't it?
It's the same place, but I rearranged the ride. It used to be in the back until last year it got moved to the side.
Yeah, I remember when it was at the back. Okay, right, so boys and girls, obviously this doesn't make great podcasting because you can't see what we can see, but Juno, describe exactly what you can see.
Yeah.
What can you see, Bobby?
Houses.
Who's that? Is that Clark there?
Clark?
That is, isn't it? That's Clark.
Clark is there plugging his lights in.
Yeah. Oh, he's got the pole at the back, look. Oh, is that Clark? Hang on. Oh, is that one of the SWAT team swinging down the
That's
building?
That's the SWAT into his house. And then there's Clark plugging in the lights. And there's cousin.
Oh, there's cousin Eddie emptying out the
chainsaw back there.
Todd and Margo running.
Where's Todd and Margo?
We're hard to get. Oh, they're way back there.
Oh, there they are. I see them in their silver suits. And yeah, we've got Todd and Margot. Nice one.
Aunt Bethany and Snots.
Oh, yeah. See the dog.
She's got her Jello and her cat in the package. And that's his school back there.
Juno wants to ask you something. Go on, Juno. Did you hear that? She asked if you still got the train.
Ah, yes.
Have we just missed it? Or was it?
Yeah, well, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, there it is.
The engine on. Then there's a train up there. Yeah, the little train. Goes around up top. There it goes.
Like see the fireworks as well.
It's going to come out over here. It's underneath the mountain. It's going to come out over here by the fireworks. So here it comes.
There it goes. Wow, look at that.
There goes the main, just the engine. It has a lot farther to go. It's going underneath the top tier, and it's going to come right out this tunnel.
There you go. And he's flying around the track, that one, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the Polar Express. When there's cars in New York City.
Oh, yeah, there it goes. With a Christmas tree in the back. Cool, that car really flies around, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's not messing around. Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it? Oh, there's a Statue of Liberty as well. So, Shelley, do you know how many pieces you've actually got all together?
I think it was, it's almost like 160, I think, like in terms of buildings.
So do you catalogue everything so you know where, like everything, when you're putting it out and you plan it all, or do you just sort of open a box and, like, how do you decide exactly how it's all going to go?
Last year, when I redid all the new boards and everything, I mapped it out on paper and then started from there. And then last year I saw things that I didn't quite like, so I wrote myself a little note to change this and that.
So did you use the same map as last year then? And then you just tweaked a few things when you laid it out? Was that the plan?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And under most every building in the village is a hole. You want to lift the curtain, Frank? So,
okay, well, now we're looking underneath it now, boys and girls. We're actually going to see what's going on underneath.
These are all the cords that are underneath. So there's a hole that's cut out of the board under each building. And then the cord that goes into the building with the light bulb comes down under and gets hooked up to power.
So every single building pretty much has got its own cord?
Yes.
Holy moly, that's a lot of cords.
Yeah, it is a lot of cords.
Do you get Frank to do the wiring then? Or do you do all of it?
I pretty much do a majority of it.
You can't see this, boys and girls, but it's kind of like a spider's web of cords.
Literally
dozens of them all coming down from underneath the village.
Hundreds of them, definitely.
Hundreds, yeah, literally hundreds of them.
Yeah, and then each animated piece also has its own cord. So, like the snow angel, where did she go? I gotta figure out where there's my snow angel. Yep, she has her own cord. And then the teeter totter has its own cord.
Wow.
Let's see. And then there's a guy back here who's chopping down a tree.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
With an axe. And there's a little guy over here who's flying a kite with his dad. There's a boy and a girl swinging on a gate here. Yeah. And then we have kids sledding and kids dancing around a tree and a tug of war. You can see the tug of war kind of off in the back there.
Yeah, the back up there at the top.
Yeah. So I try to place the animated pieces so that they're not all in one place.
I see. Spread them out a bit. Yeah. So all the buildings that have got snow on, that's how they come, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have to put any snow down at all, or do you have to put snow on the street and that sort of thing?
I put snow on the ground, and that's about it. And then,
what do you use for that, Shelley?
It's a product called Buffalo Snow Flurries.
Oh, okay. So that's for people that have got their own Christmas villages, and you buy the stuff to put down.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it coming sheets, or is it?
It's like, bags.
What is it, like a powder, or?
Yeah, I'll pick it up a little bit here.
Oh, okay, what you watching? Oh, okay. So it is like granular snow.
Yeah.
So you sprinkle it down and then what, sort of spread it out with your brush or fingers or just?
I have a brush. I usually sprinkle it with a spoon, and then I spread it with a brush. I also use a chopstick and get it to where I want it. Now, some of the buildings will come with holes in the chimneys, and I have added batting so that it looks like smoke.
Yeah, I see. So when you clear it away then, this snow, what do you do? Do you put it back in the bag, or do you just get a new bag every year to get in the bin?
Some of it I can save, but a lot of it I have to get rid of because it really yellows.
Oh, does it?
Fine, yeah. So I usually use the old stuff in the back.
Okay.
And then I can add fresh stuff. It's getting tougher and tougher to find the product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long do you reckon it took you in hours then to make it this year, Shelley?
It only took me like 3 weeks to get it put up. that's pretty much working every day. I did have a catering event, my first one that I did. Uh-huh. So I had to kind of halt production of the village and work on that. But I would say probably, what, 150 hours? About 150 hours, probably.
Oh, goodness me. Do you enjoy it? Is it like a real labor of love? You really enjoy it as you're doing it?
I do. And
oh, good.
It really, really went smooth this year. We have a nice process now where the bins are all labeled back, middle, front. So I only put the first three boards in, and then I build that, and then we bring the next three boards in, and we build that, and then
board,
we bring...
A board is a 4x8 sheet of plywood.
Yeah, a board is a 4x8 sheet of plywood. So,
okay, yep.
And then once that's done, then I build New York City, and then I don't have to climb up there anymore.
Oh, I see.
Unless, of course, I go to Bronner's and buy new things, and then I have to climb up there.
Is that what you, did you have to do that this year?
Yeah, the ghost was new, and Clark with the chainsaw was new, and the village was already done. So I was done with the village by the 26th of October, because we went to Bronner's when we went down to Detroit for a football game.
So last year, how many people do you reckon came to see the village?
I think we had 97 last year.
Oh, you're three short of a ton. Oh, so close.
That's our number. We're trying to get to 100.
That's Frank's number. He wants 100.
Yeah, I think the year before you were really close to 100 as well.
I think we had 99 last time. Yeah. We've had two visitors.
Two. I noticed your Facebook page, so your Facebook picture, you've changed it to, what does it say? Christmas?
Our Christmas open house.
Christmas open house, that's right. Yeah, so boys and girls, last year, Shirley was, if people came to visit and they filled in, was it like a quiz type thing there to do? They just spot the thing?
Yeah, it's an I Spy game.
That's it. And then last year, you were given out those glasses, the way you look at the lights and you can see like candy canes or elves and that. You were kind enough to send us some, and we've been using them today, haven't we?
Yeah. I used the candy cane ones and the teddy bear ones today.
Nice. We bought some new ones. This is the shelf for all of the activities and stuff for the kids that come to the open house. And back there is the entire stack of glasses. And there's...
Oh, wow.
They're going to be painting ornaments and making foam ornaments and coloring pages and stickers and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. You sent us the sticker sheet as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we put the face on the stick the elves on and stick the faces on. Yeah, we did. Oh, I sent you a picture of that, didn't I? Have you got the I Spy thing already?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right, read one out. I'll see if I can see it.
Okay, let's see here. So one of the questions is, how many swans are swimming?
Oh, I think I saw two. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, we get a prize. How many questions are there?
I think there's 20.
And have they got to get all 20 if they want a prize?
No, they just need to participate. That's all.
What?
Giving
stuff away to these freeloaders coming around your house. And putting muddy footprints on the carpet, and then you're giving them stuff just for staring at.
Is what will it cost for a pretzel?
Oh, hang on. What's this?
So that's over here, this young man.
Oh, hang on. Right, look closely, girls. How much is this guy selling his pretzels for? 5 cents.
5 cents? Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'll take 20 at that price.
Give me a buck's worth, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's another one. Where is the pickle?
Oh. So the town our daughter lives in is famous for Heinz ketchup and Heinz pickles.
Oh, okay.
They got us a building from Heinz.
And here is the pickle.
So there's a Heinz pickle.
There is. Do many people get all 20 then?
Some of them, yeah.
A lot of kids do, yeah.
They will stay and work on it for a long time.
Oh, they do. So do you get many people that you don't know coming around? Like people just knocking on your door and you're like, hi.
Once in a great while, you'll get complete strangers. Usually you get new people who came with people that we know.
Oh, okay, sure.
So we'll have local folks who brought folks from out of town over.
Yeah.
Oh, what are the raccoons doing?
Easy guess.
I'm going through the trash.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly, right there.
We call them trash bandits here.
So have you got the Grinch thing up this year as well?
We do.
No, look at this. We've got lights display on the wall.
And then here is the Grinch tree.
And there's the Grinch.
Frank, you want to zoom in on this guy? This was given to us by someone very special.
There it is.
I recognize that pickle.
It's my Christmas pickle.
Yeah, it's the one I sent him.
Pickle. then there's the Grinch Village.
Oh, and there's the Whoville. Look, girls. Yeah, the girls were watching the Grinch this morning, weren't you, girls?
Yeah.
The live action one they watched.
Oh, nice.
Well, stay tuned for next year because the Grinch Village is getting redone and it's going up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think, 3 or 4 tiers.
Oh, goodness me. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the favorite room of the kids.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, this is our guest room, so the bed and just all of the Grinch stuff.
This is where you guys will stay when you come visit us.
Yeah, one day. Yeah.
When I win the lottery, I can fly you all over.
Ah.
Well, thank you so much for showing us your village again. Hopefully you'll send us some pictures and I can put them on Facebook and share them with everyone because they're really popular. Got to say, it's magnificent as ever. Thank you so much for having us again.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I've got to say a massive thank you to Shelley and Frank for being part of the show again. And sincerely, boys and girls, go to my Facebook page and have a look at those pictures and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. Thanks again, Shelley and Frank. It was great to see you. Now it's time for this.
Book review. Book review.
Christmas.
Book review.
Boys and girls, now I have another interview, and this is with a gentleman called Stephen A. Mackay. He's a writer, and he writes historical fiction, and we spoke last year, and he was kind enough this year to send me a copy of his latest Christmas stories. So just a heads up, this is another Zoom interview, and the sound's not too bad in this one. Here we go. Okay, so boys and girls, I don't know if you remember, but last year I spoke to Stephen A. Mackay. What is it, Stephen A.? Does everyone call you Stephen A. Mackay?
No, nobody calls me that.
Okay. Okay, so I'm joined by Stephen A. Mackay. He's an author who writes historical fiction, historical action fiction. And he wrote 4 books about Robin Hood, which I finished earlier this year, actually. I read the whole series and loved them. And every Christmas, Stephen puts out a Christmas novella or short story. So he sent me his most recent one, which is The Heretic of Halton... Am I saying it right? Halton Price Priory.
Close enough, yeah.
And this one is about, it's not about Robin Hood, it's about 3 of his friends, Friar Tuck, Little John and Will Scarlet. So every year you write another Christmas one. Is that just because of your love of Christmas or is it just a big cash grab?
No, it's certainly not a cash grab because they don't really sell that well.
How's they not?
Well, people only buy them in December.
Of course, yeah. So, it's not going to be a year-round thing, is it?
Aye. So they only really sell in December. So no, it's just for my love of Christmas. I just really enjoy the season and writing a story is just another way to get involved in it.
Yeah, so this one, I noticed that you only finished it in November, is that right? Or was it October?
Yeah. Hang on. I think it was probably finished editing in November.
I think the previous one was October from the year before. So the latest one, The Heretic of Halton Price Priory, there's actually 2 stories in there, and this includes the one you wrote last year, which was The Christmas Hunt, which, again, that includes the same 3 characters.
Yeah.
So these ones are a little bit more mystical. The previous Robin Hood stuff wasn't mystical at all, but you added a little bit in these, didn't you? Was that because of Christmas, like the tradition of Christmas ghost stories, or is that something you just fancy trying?
It's just something I wanted to add in. I'd written a novella years ago called Night of the Cross. It wasn't a Christmas one, but it was characters from that series, and I had added in some kind of mystical elements and a monster and stuff like that. And some people really enjoyed it, and I liked writing it. So I thought I'd do something similar this time. But you will notice that I do leave it open-ended. Like, it might be supernatural, or it might just be kind of mundane explanation for some of the stuff.
Aye,
yeah. That was my editor's idea. I had it a lot more, like, supernatural stuff. And my editor said, no, I think you should tone it down and make it a bit more ambiguous.
Yeah, there's ambiguity, but not a massive amount of ambiguity.
No, not really, no.
I think you sort of got your way with those. The previous one wasn't, though, was it? The one you sent me, the audiobook one. I forgot the...
Friar Tuck, was that?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, Friar Tuck and the Christmas Devil.
The Christmas Devil, that was it. Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of supposed to be supernatural as well, although obviously it turns out the way it does. But I think Christmas ghost stories, people like them at this time of year, but just because it's dark outside and it gets a bit windy and scary. So why not use these characters for something like that?
So, remind us of the previous one. So, obviously, we just discussed the one from... How long ago was it? The Friar Tuck and the Christmas Devil. How long ago was that one?
I think it was 2014.
Oh, was it?
So it was like 10 years ago, yeah.
And have you done one every year, a Christmas-based story?
No. I think I only started doing it in about 2019 or something like that.
Oh, okay. So when they came out yearly, that was... Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it was kind of when I stopped doing the Robin Hood novels. That series kind of finished. I thought, I like these characters too much just to forget about them. So I started using them in the winter stories.
Oh, okay. So what are the other ones you've got then? So we've got the two here in this book.
Yeah. I think after Friar Tuck and the Christmas Devil, there was Faces of Darkness, which is not explicitly at Christmas, but it's kind of in the run-up to Christmas and it's snow and stuff like that in the background. And then there was The House in the Marsh. And there's a wee bit supernatural in that, but not really. Again, it's just kind of hinted at, but not really.
Is that the same three characters, or was it an...
Yeah, that was the same three characters, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Faces of Darkness never had Will Scarlet in it. It's basically the same kind of setup for all of them. And I did Sworn to God, which was the same three characters. That was a bit longer in length. Again, set at Christmas, and so they usually have a kind of happy ending at the... when it all finishes up and they're in the pub
together having a drink.
A bit like Time Team. You know, the end of Time Team, where they would always get together in the pub and have their real ale together.
Okay.
And have a good laugh. And I kind of finish these novellas in a similar way usually. Not always, but that's how I like to end them.
Aye. So the aspects of Christmas that you've got in the books, these books are set in the 1300s. Have you researched what was going on? Like how they were celebrating Christmas at those times?
Yeah.
And so you talk about wassail and hot ale, obviously at winter time. In one of them, you're talking about the decorations where they're actually using holly and ivy. And that was a thing as far back as the 1300s, was it?
Yeah, it goes back even further than that. And like the Yule log and stuff like that goes right back to the Vikings even. So even the Anglo-Saxons and earlier people, like I'm looking out my window just now and I can see all the trees are bare. You know, there's no colour on them at all. But then you find a holly bush and it's got bright green and the red berries, so people would bring that in with like mistletoe and other plants that would grow all year round. But they had weird like traditions where you weren't allowed holly, or was it ivy? One of them, you're not allowed indoors for some mystical reason, something to do with Jesus or something. I don't really remember. I did research it, and it's in one of the books. But yeah, they did decorate outside of their house.
Well, that was the bit. You're talking about how Little John is going around decorating the people's houses.
Yeah, that's right.
So the food, you sort of touch upon in the two latest ones I've read. One of them, you're talking about a cheese tart. Is that actually a thing?
Was
that
cheese tart?
Yeah, where Little John's got to go out and buy some cheese.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. That's one that I wrote last year. And I tend to forget things quickly because I'm always writing new books. But yeah, I would have researched it. So if it's in the book, I would have checked it, because I check absolutely everything that goes in these books, because I know that if I don't, some expert in the period will come on and tell me that I've got it wrong.
And where do you do that? Is it all online? Have you got books? Or how do you...
I've got all sorts of books, yeah. Online to start with, you know, you do a quick Google search and see what comes up. But I've got tons and tons of books. And I've got one particular book about the medieval Christmas by Sophie Jackson. I think it's just called The Medieval Christmas. If you search for that, you should find it. And that's been a great resource for these wee books. So every year I just get that one out. And I just go through it all again and refresh my memory, or I look for certain things like the hymns that they sung, you know, and then...
In one of the books, you've got one of the hymns written out. That's actually one from the Middle Ages, is it?
Yeah, yeah. I think I got that one from that book. And in one of the stories, I actually said Friar Tuck had written a medieval carol called A Child Is Born Amongst Man.
That's right, yeah.
And it is a real carol that was written back then. I don't think they know who wrote it.
So I just said he wrote it. Maybe it was him.
Yeah, exactly. Who can say otherwise?
Because I was reading that carol as this part of the book, and I was thinking, I wonder if this is one you just made up yourself, or it's actually it actually was a medieval carol. Makes it a bit more impressive. So you'll be writing one next year?
Actually, next year, I do a podcast as well called Rock, Paper, Swords with another author called Matthew Harvey. And for some reason, we've decided that next year we're going to write a Christmas story together. So I've never written a book or a story with anyone else, so it should be interesting.
Aye.
So we're going to start that in the new year together. And he sells a lot of books. I think he's sold about 750,000 books over the years.
Oh, nice.
So that's about double what I have. So that's...
I've sold nearly seven, I think. it might be up to a dozen, actually. I don't know. I'm not sure. It might be up to a dozen. I don't think it's... Probably not. So I've got a little bit of catching up to do. So is the book you're going to be writing next year, is that going to be based around the same characters, or are you going to do something completely different?
I think it's going to be the same character, simply because the setup's already there. So,
okay. So Matthew's, you know, cool with that, is he?
Yeah, I think he'll probably invent a new character of his own. and we'll just slot it into the setting that I've created, rather than starting from scratch. You know, people can expect me to write a story. My own readers expect me to write a story at Christmas, so we can do that and just add him in.
But you said you're going to start in the new year, so you're planning to like take your time over this one. Is it going to be a full-length novel, this one, or will it just be another short story?
No, I think it'll probably just be a shorter one, because obviously me and Matthew have both got deadlines on other books that we have to write.
Sure.
Like, I mean, I wrote 2 novels last year. It might even have been 3. And I'll probably do the same again this year.
Okay.
2 novels plus a short one. Yeah, usually I write it myself. I start it around about September, October, and take it maybe 6 weeks or so, 2 months to write it.
Are you focusing just on that one book? Like, you finished your writing for the year,
yeah.
Now you've got time to do your Christmas one?
Exactly, that's the way I usually work it. But because Matthew has so many other deadlines for his own books and he's using a publisher, I'm not this year anymore. I've finished with my publisher, so I can kind of suit myself. I've got a new book out with a publisher in February, the 3rd in the Alfred the Great series.
Uh-huh.
That's called King of Wessex, and that comes out in February. But, I mean, that's long finished. So, yeah, we're going to start this year's Christmas story round about February, I think, which is different for me, but as I say, I can suit myself now because I'm back to self-publishing. For now, anyway, I don't know what will happen in the new year. Maybe some publisher will make me a really big offer or something. Who knows?
Aye. So have you got a story already for next year, or are you just going to just sit down and brainstorm it together?
Yeah, we don't have the ideas yet. It was just over. I can't even remember who we interviewed. We interviewed somebody recently on Rock, Paper, Swords. Ian Mortimer, I think it was, a historian, actually. He writes medieval time traveller's guides. I think it was him in that interview. It just came up that maybe we should do it together, me and Matthew. So we don't have a story yet or anything, really. Just the very basic ideas.
So, yeah, you mentioned your podcast. A couple of years ago, you did a fantastic history of Christmas. I need to listen to it again this year because it was such an interesting episode, like just going all the way back to before Christ was born and then all the way up to modern day. Was it up to modern day? Maybe not quite as far as modern day, but really, really, for the hour, just so interesting. And then last year, I don't think you did anything particularly, or you did something with another podcast, but have you got anything?
Yeah, we did it with another podcast, yeah, so it was a bit different. We are going to do another Christmas episode this year, and it'll probably be mostly about people's favourite Christmas books, like A Christmas Carol and things like that. I'm not sure how long that the episode will last, because I assumed there would be loads of really famous Christmas books, and there probably is, but not many that I've actually read myself.
I was just trying to think. I read A Christmas Carol every year, but I can't think of any of the ones that I read every year. Well, that
The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe's kind of classed as a Christmas story, but it's not really.
It's not really, is it?
It's just
a little scene. There's one scene with Santa in it, isn't there? Well, it's Father Christmas, they call him. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
So, also, last year you released a song, and I did play it on the
Yeah, that's right. You played it twice, I think, guy.
You lucky boy. Yeah. And now you've got another one this year. Yeah.
Aye, it's even,
I'll play that. I'll play the whole thing. Is that okay? I'll play the whole thing.
Yeah, do what you want. Yeah.
After the interview, I'm going to play the whole thing for you. It's a little bit heavier, this one. I love the guitar riff intro. In the background there, I can see your guitar. So do you're doing the backings and Matthew's doing the singing, is that right?
Yeah, the music's me and the singing's Matthew.
But who wrote the lyrics then?
Matthew wrote the lyrics in this one, but it's quite a lot of work, especially for me recording all the music. So I think this year I said to him, you can just write the lyrics, and I just left it to him to save myself a bit of work.
He wrote the lyrics?
Yeah.
You came up with a tune?
I came up with the tune first. I wrote all the music and then I send it to him, and then he just put his vocals over it, really. He wrote the vocal melodies and stuff like that, you know, and then he records the harmonies and stuff, and then he just sends it all to me, like various files, and I put it all together.
Oh, sorry, so he did the harmonies. Did you do any vocals, any backings?
No, there's no, not in that, no.
Oh, is there not? Oh, okay, because there's more than one voice. I just assumed the other one I could hear was yours, but it's actually just him again. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just him. He just records it like 4 or 5 different takes, higher pitched, lower pitched, and then I just mix them all together.
All right, so if you want to listen to it, boys and girls, well, you're going to have to, because I'm going to play it after this. But then is it just YouTube or Spotify? Is it on Spotify as well?
Yeah, it's on everywhere. Spotify, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, everywhere. You know, the streaming services.
Aye. It's got a similar sort of theme to your previous one, I think. But then I guess your books, it's a similar theme. It's like the medieval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time. I'm really pleased with how it came out.
I enjoyed it. It's not really got a Christmassy feel to it, has it? But the lyrics are Christmassy, but, you know.
But
I liked it. Yeah, it's a good tune.
Well, again, it's like I said to Matthew, maybe tone down the Christmas elements. Like the one we did last year, we had like the wee fake carol singing at the end, and they had
that's right, she did, yeah.
You know, there was all the church bells in the background at the end and all that. It was very, very Christmassy. But it's like the books, if you do a Christmas song, people only want to listen to it in December. Nobody listens to it the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So I said, maybe if we tone it down a bit this year, make it less overtly Christmas, more people might listen to it in February and March and the summer or whatever. Nobody really listens to them that much anyway, to be honest. It's hard to get it out there. I think if a lot of people heard it, they might really enjoy it and go back to it, but it's finding the audience.
I think that's the thing. It's having that online presence that you can, anything you put out gets noticed. It's tricky. So before we end it then, do you want to quickly just give us a short plot of The Heretic of Helton Price Priory? Tell people what the story's actually about, this one.
Yeah, it's an old friend of Friar Tuck, who I call Robert Stafford in the synopsis and the blurb in the back, simply because I don't want to turn people off by saying it's Robin Hood, because I think people get the wrong idea when they hear Robin Hood. Maybe think he's a bit twee or whatever, and it's not really like that. So Friar Tuck's old friend is in this new priory, which was a real priory, Halton Price, and there's just a weird atmosphere that's freaking them all out, basically, all these monks. And it's coming up for winter and Christmas, and Tuck takes a trip there because he solved a few of these mysteries. People have heard about it, and he gets there and things just start to get even more sinister and frightening, and certain things start to happen that are a bit scary for all the monks. And there's one monk in particular who seems to know more about it than he's kind of lets on. Tuck decides that he has to invite John and Will Scafflock to help him because it's getting a bit dangerous for him himself. And then it progresses from there into some various supernatural kind of things going on. So I don't want to give away the plot too much.
But no, that's enough. I think that sets the scene. Yeah. And the second book, which is the second story in the book, Christmas Hunt, that's a lot shorter, and I can do that one. It's pretty much coming up to Christmas Eve, and Will Scarlet has gone missing, so Friar Tuck and Little John have to go out in the snow to try and find their friend. And that's a really good one as well. I really enjoyed both of them, actually. I think the second one I enjoyed a little bit more, mainly because the Christmas aspect is a lot stronger.
Yeah, it's more Christmassy. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And it's shorter because it was supposed to... I only gave it away for free last year to my subscribers on my email list. So I didn't want to go to a whole ton of bother and spend months and months when I was only going to give it away for free. So it's about 12,000 words, I think. And there's a wee twist in that as well, which is actually kind of oddly supernatural, or could be.
Yes, very funny.
Do you remember it?
I do, of course I do, yeah. It's very interesting surprise at the end there. Just so you know, boys and girls, Stephen sent me a copy of the book, and I read it in 2 days, and I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. Again, I've read the whole of the Robin Hood series that Stephen writes. Is it The Forest Lord?
Forest Lord, yeah.
That's it, yeah. So I've got it on the bookmark here. Yeah, The Forest Lord series, which is 4 books about the life of Robin Hood. But also, do you want to talk about the other books you've written while you're here?
Yeah, well, there's 3 Alfred the Great books that I did with the publisher. So they've been in Waterstones and things like that. So that was really nice, because all my other books have been self-published, mostly anyway. So those are the only ones that I've seen in Waterstones, which is a thrill for an author. The other series is The Warrior Druid of Britain.
How many books is in that series now?
There's six so far.
Okay.
In that series. And I'm writing the 7th just now. And they sell really well. I did a translation for Germany as well, and that's selling brilliantly. I've even had like a couple of All-Stars awards for it being one of the highest read indie books over in Germany.
Oh, wow.
On Amazon. That's basically the current series that I've been working on the most over the past few years. I mean, it's called The Druid, but it's historical fiction. There's kind of a suggestion of fantasy, magic and stuff in it, but not really. You know, it could all be explained by real events and real, you know, phenomena rather than paranormal things.
And what sort of year were those ones set?
Well, they're like the Dark Ages, when the Romans have just left Britain. So it's like 430.
Oh, as far back as that one then? Oh, okay, because like I mentioned, the Robin Hood ones are like the 1300s. Okay.
Yeah, it's similar kind of, you know, they ate kind of similar foods and the technology's similar. The main differences are things like the gods they believed in. Christianity hadn't really come in yet.
Right.
So it's quite an interesting backdrop. And King Arthur's in it with Merlin. There's just a lot of action in them, really, and they're going around Britain sorting problems out and fighting the Saxons and rescuing people. And I mean, there's quite a lot of violence and stuff in them as well. They are quite realistic, I think, more so than those Christmas novellas, which are kind of toned down. There's some slightly more adult elements in the Mother Fool series compared to the Christmas novellas. So there's less swearing, a bit less violence, like descriptions anyway.
Right, well, there you go, boys and girls. If you want to check out any of Stephen's books, obviously, as listeners to this show, you'll be interested in his Christmas stories. They're all on Amazon, I take it.
Yeah.
So are some of them just on Kindle, is that right?
No, they're not, actually. No, you can get all of them.
Oh, you can? You can
paperback. Get more. Oh, I forgot The Peddler's Promise as well. That was another one that I put out. That was 2 years ago, The Peddler's Promise. And that's another in the same series with the same characters, where Friar Tuck, he's in a different village before Christmas, and he sends a present, a gift, to John and Will, using a peddler to carry it to him. But the peddler's an old drunken kind of fool, and he gets lost with their gift. So they're desperate to know where it is, so they get out into the snowy wilderness to try and find this peddler, and they have adventures trying to find him. And then they do in the end, and there's a bit of a twist, and again they end up in the pub all having a good laugh about it at the end.
How all good stories end. Yeah, so if you want to check out any of his books, they're all on Amazon. It's Stephen with a V, A. Mackay, M-C-K-A-Y. Yeah, definitely check him out. Like I said, I've read all of the Robin Hood series, and I've really enjoyed the latest Christmas one. So yeah, check it out. Thanks again for coming on, Stephen. Do you want to introduce your song that's going to come up just now?
Yeah, it's called Wassail the Night Away. And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Stephen.
Sail at every gate. Let's rock around the Christmas clock from sundown till the hour is late. From bygone streets till now, tradition still remains. Wassailing with the fire inside, while the snow is laced with flames.
We're sailing out away. humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is Blackadder's Christmas Carol. But here's the thing, boys and girls. If you want to listen to it, you've got to go to the Advent Calendar House, presented by Mike Westphal, where me and him discuss it. That's right, he had me on the show. The episode came out on Sunday the 8th, and me and him spend an hour or so talking about Blackadder's Christmas Carol. It's a fantastic special. If you've never watched it, it's very loosely based on A Christmas Carol, but it's one of the ones that I really remember from my childhood. I really recommend you go and listen to that episode. Not right now. I mean, you could right now and then come straight back to this one, but just make sure you do come straight back, because he's got a lot of good episodes out. This is the time of year when the Advent Calendar House comes out. So go and check it out. The Advent Calendar House podcast with Mike Westphal, and then come back, or listen to the rest of the episode and then come back. Your choice. Either way, have a listen to it. Now it's time for this.
In our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy.
Boys and girls, Bob Baker is back, and oh, Bob, your flies are undone.
Thanks, Jack. So one of the most common ways we are told to spread a smile of joy is to publicly sing songs and to play music. This always makes me wonder if we can still go caroling in 2024. I mean, to continue the tradition of singing Christmas carols door to door, other than in commercials or Hallmark movies. Well, I discovered there is a Go Caroling Day on December 20th. Go Caroling Day is to remind us of the power of our voices to spread joy and to build community. Just so you know, there is science to this. Hearing other people sing around us releases dopamine, which is associated with pleasure, and serotonin, which is related to euphoria. Plus, singing in groups releases oxytocin in all participants. Singing, especially in a group, has been shown to reduce stress, improve mood, and it's a full-body workout. It engages your core, improves your posture, and enhances lung capacity. So, have I sold you on it yet? Go Caroling Day was created to help preserve the tradition of caroling. So let's do our part. Many communities will organize caroling events, but you can just gather some friends and family on your own. Try to get a diverse group of ages with adults and kids. You can bring a modern touch and use social media to organize the event. Just pick a few easy songs to sing, warn your neighbors and select them wisely, and bring a thermos of hot chocolate or something more adult to share and stay warm. You may want to consider visiting a local nursing home or even a hospital to spread cheer. But most of all, just relax, smile, and sing with joy. If you know of another way to share your inner music, you harmonize with Jack, he'll perform it for me, and together we'll spread our arms and our melodies around the world.
I think that has got to be the best one yet. Do you know what? I've been on at the girls about going carol singing, just the three of us, and they're not interested at all, sadly. I'd love it, personally. I remember going, last time I went, I was about 17. Yeah, bunch of us. We had a blinding time. Ah, glory. Boys and girls, get yourselves out there. The 20th of December is carol singing day. Maybe go on your own, if that's the way you're inclined. But why not get out there and get singing some carols? Maybe next year I'll get the girls to go. A massive thank you again to Bob for that segment. And boys and girls, we're right in the midst of Christmas now, and you've probably watched all your favourite classics already. They've gone. You can watch them again, or why not check out something you've not seen before? Maybe a foreign Christmas film. Well, Bob's podcast is the place for you. Festive foreign film fans, Bob and his mate Mark, they chat about Christmas-based foreign films. Yeah, you can't go wrong. So go and have a listen after you finish listening to this. Now we're going to do this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Boys and girls, it is your favourite part of the show, possibly. So I've got to read out the scores from last episode. Jeannie Mulligan, who she's going to be up in a minute, actually. She's going to be here answering the questions from this episode. She scored a massive 4. And you're like, that's not a massive 4. It is for Jeannie. Yes, it is. And also, Jeremy Boyd, he scored 4 as well. Yeah. And he works for a company called Deck the Malls. And what they do is they do massive decorations for shopping centres. Yeah, I'm hoping I'll get him on the show at some point. With 5 points, we had... Do you know what? I keep referring to this guy as Andy FRM. No idea what that means. And then he sent this through, yeah? I scored 5. Best wishes, John. So God knows what his name is. But I'll say Andy FRM slash John. He got 5. So did Jack Unverfirth. Jen Kaleri... I hope I said that right, Jen. She's emailed me and she's actually put it out phonetically so I can pronounce it correctly. Yeah, so I'm saying Jen Kaleri. She scored 5.5. She gave herself 0.5 because she knew it was Vince Vaughn in 4 Christmases. She didn't know about Reese Witherspoon. With 6 points, we got Benji Pearson and Pamela Wootton. With 7 points, we have Martin Goodman. And I don't know if you remember, but on the last episode, I had Mike Westphal giving the answers. He scored 7 as well. And with 8 points is Frank Talley. Well done, Frank. Great work. Also, I got this one, right, from someone calling themselves Brighton Rock. I don't know if that's his real name. Probably is. I don't know. And he's put, this is my score. This is my score. This is my score. This is my score. I don't know. And that's how he wrote it out as well. Yeah. So we don't know what Brighton Rock got, but thanks for getting in touch. It's always nice, though, isn't it, to reach out. So, it's this episode's quiz. Are you ready, boys and girls? I hope you are. Question number 1. Easy one to get you started. To lull you into a false sense of security. Who wrote the children's... I just got to say, before I start, right, Jeannie Mulligan, she's coming on again. She's been on the show a load of times this year. She's coming on again with the answers. I sort of cherry-picked these to make it easy for her. So you might think, oh, they're a bit Brit-centric. You might think that. You might not. I don't know. Okay? I don't know. Just wait till you've had the questions. Then make your mind up. Question number 1. Who wrote the children's story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas? There you go. That's 1 point, isn't it? Well done. Question number 2. Which animated duo... Yeah, appeared on the front cover of the 2008 Christmas double issue of the Radio Times, that's like the TV listing guide, it's the best-selling one in the UK, with the caption, Happy Christmas and a Cracking New Year. Cracking, that might give you a clue. Okay. Question number 3. Which two singers, separated in age by 44 years, collaborated on the 2021 Christmas song, Merry Christmas, which went to number 1 in the UK? Okay, whom were they? Question number 4. Alid Jones sang Walking in the Air for the animated film The Snowman. Is that true or is that false? Am I telling you the truth or am I lying to you like some low down snivelling little git? Huh? Well, you be the judge. Question number, I don't know. What accompaniment to your Christmas turkey dinner is made from the fruit of the shrub Vaccinium Oxycoccus? Okay, do you want to hear that again? Probably do. Rewind it then, because I ain't reading it out again. Ha! Question number something. Who played an elf named Patch, who was relieved of his duties in the 1985 film Santa Claus the Movie? Whom was that? Whom? Okay, next one. Originally published as A Visit from St. Nicholas, who wrote what later became known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas? You know the one. Who wrote it? Okay. What capital city has given London its Christmas tree for Trafalgar Square every year since 1947? Okay, so there's another country, and every year they send us over this massive Christmas tree to go in the centre of Trafalgar Square. Who sends it? Whom? Oh, down to number 9 already. That was quick. Known as the Singing Cowboy, who, in 1949, was the first person to record the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, reaching number 1 on the American charts. And the final one, complete the title of the 2006 film starring Jennifer Grey, The Road to Where? Where on earth is that road leading us, boys and girls? Well, if you don't know, you'll find out in a minute. So that's your 10 questions. Like I said, now I've got Jeannie Mulligan. She's back again. She's going to give us her answers. Now here's the deal. I recorded with Jeannie, back in, I don't know, October, somewhere, I don't know. And we talked about this thing she does every year where she goes and buys a Christmas sandwich from all the different supermarkets and shops, and then she rates them. And I said, well, will you come back on and talk to us about that? She said, yes, here's the deal. We recorded that, but I've got so much going on in this episode, I thought we'd play her quiz answers in this episode and the Christmas sandwich competition in the next episode. So at some point I mentioned that she was on the previous episode. She's not. She's on the next episode. Make sense? Probably not. But let's just get on with these answers. But before we do, this isn't the best recording. I'm pretty clear. Jeannie, not the clearest, but hopefully you can make out what she's saying. Here we go. Well, boys and girls, you heard her last time talking about the Christmas sandwiches. She's back again, and it's the lovely Jeannie Mulligan, and she's here with her answers. And it's not looking good. It ain't looking good. Right.
I'm just, like, crushed under pressure. I'm really bad at quizzes, and I'm just brutal.
How did you do last time you came on?
Terrible. I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay, then. Let's move on. Right. Question number one. Easy one, this one. Who wrote the children's story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Dr. Zeus.
It was the easy one. Well done. See, you got 100% so far. You can't fail. Question number two. Which animated duo, they're making a comeback this year, appeared on the front cover photo of the 2008 Christmas double issue of the Radio Times with the caption, Happy Christmas and a Cracking New Year?
I genuinely don't know. I just said Tom and Jerry.
Oh, no. What? Wallace and Gromit.
Oh my God, I love Wallace and Gromit. How is, like, cracking a clue?
Because that's what they say, isn't it? Cracking, Gromit.
Oh yeah, they do, actually.
And that was a really good impression as well. Okay, question number three. So now you've got 50%. Are you proud of yourself? Which two singers, separated in age by 44 years, collaborated on the 2021 Christmas song, Merry Christmas, which went to number one?
I think it's Elton John and Ed Sheeran.
There you go. Back on form.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Next one. Alec Jones sang Walking in the Air for the animated film The Snowman. Is that true or is that false?
True.
False.
What?
Yeah. So this is the deal. The actual guy that sung the song for the don't get upset with me, Jeannie. You're the one that got it wrong, not me. I got it right. The guy that actually sang it was called Peter Orty, and he was a... Don't you... You can't see the faces she's pulling, boys and girls, but they're not particularly nice. What happened was, his voice broke, I believe, after he sung it for the cartoon. And then, a couple of years later, Toys R Us had an advert with the same song in it, and Alec Jones sang it for the Toys R Us advert, and that's the version that was released on the single. And that's why Alec Jones went on to be on Top of the Pops and have a massive career. I'm sure most of my listeners in other countries haven't even heard of Alec Jones, but... He is quite a big celebrity still, even to this day, as a singer. Yeah. So there you go. Sorry, but don't hate me, Jeannie.
Did you get that right?
What?
Did you get that right?
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, but don't forget, I'm a geek, aren't I? I know these things. Don't get upset, Jeannie, that I'm really clever. Okay.
You're just cheating again.
Right, you've got to get this next one. What accompaniment to your Christmas turkey dinner is made from the fruit of the shrub Vaccinium oxycoccus?
Is it Brussels sprouts?
For fuck's sake, come on, Jeannie. It's an accompaniment to your turkey. It's been in all those sandwiches. It says the fruit of the shrub. Fruit.
Cranberries.
You're a bit late for that, isn't it? Right, let's just move on. Who played an elf named Patch who was relieved of his duties in the 1985 film Santa Claus the Movie? You didn't get this one either, did you?
No, and I love this movie. This is my favourite Christmas movie when I was a kid. And I know the little guy and everybody's... I can't remember his name.
Dudley Moore.
Ah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and he was top billed on the posters, Dudley Moore was. He was like the big name in this film. Okay, next one. And you probably didn't get this either because you're not doing very well. Originally published as A Visit from St. Nicholas, who wrote what later became known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas?
No idea. It's downstairs in my bookshelf. I could have gone down and cheated, but I didn't.
Well, I can tell you it was Clement Clark Moore.
And you saw you that.
Does that ring any bells?
Yes, it does. Makes sense.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay, next one. Which capital city has given London its Christmas tree for Trafalgar Square every year since 1947?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it's Norway. And that was their way of saying thank you for us helping them in World War II. So, yeah, Norway gives us the tree, and the capital city is obviously Oslo. Yeah,
Okay. So how many you got so far? Let's not discuss that. Okay. Oh, because I know you got the next one. Known as the Singing Cowboy, who in 1949 was the first person to record the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which got to number one on the American charts?
I don't know.
It was Gene Autry.
I wouldn't know that. I've never heard that before, ever.
You must have heard that. Gene Autry, the Singing Cowboy. The version you hear, the main version of Rudolph is... Okay, move on. Right. Okay, last one. Come on, you can do this. You can pull it back. You can score a huge three. Okay.
Pressure.
Complete the title of the 2006 film starring Jennifer Grey, The Road to Blank.
Christmas.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Woohoo! You've scored... Hang on, am I getting this right? Did you actually only score three?
Yeah.
I bet you were so sure about that Ella Jones one as well, weren't you?
I really was. But you could give me 3.5 because I got cranberries, like, you know...
But on your third guess... On your third guess, Jeannie.
Well, it's Christmas. Come on.
Yeah, no.
Give a half point. Come on.
You're getting three, and that's it, because that's what you got, Jeannie. There's no cheating.
Whatever.
Let me just work it. Hold on, Jeannie. I've got to work out how many I got, so this could take a while.
Oh, come on. Tell me.
You know how many I got? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Cheater.
Right, we've discussed this. She's calling me a cheater. I've shown her the book. The answers are at the back. They're not by the questions. I have to go to the back to the number corresponding to that question. She's just a sore loser. Right, it's Christmas. I will not stand sore losers on Christmas. Now, is there anything you want to say to my listeners? For example, maybe you want to apologise for your poor showing in the
Oh, he seriously is cheating, but Merry Christmas, everybody.
I'm not cheating, boys and girls. I wouldn't cheat. I just know so much it upsets other people. Well, thanks for coming on again, Jeannie. How did the Christmas fair go? Do you remember? You plugged that when you were on last time.
Yeah, it was really good, actually. So it was on Sunday, and it was brilliant. I did Santa's Grotto in the end, so I was one of Santa's little helpers.
Oh, wait, did you have to dress as an elf?
Yeah. So we helped the photographer and Santa. And made sure all the mums were looking at the camera, and we took their coats and made sure we got their email addresses. And it was lovely. It was really, really good. It was a great day.
Oh, cool. Oh, well done. Did you raise plenty of money for the school?
Yeah, we raised 13,000 euro.
13,000?
Yeah,
13,000. You sure it wasn't 1,300?
No. It wasn't just Santa's Grotto. It was like a big, huge Christmas fair, and there was like a huge raffle and everything. It was
£13,000.
Yeah.
Dollars, though. Euros.
Oh, sorry, euros. Yeah. No, honestly,
that's
we did.
Insane.
Yeah. Oh no, it was like it's a really big.
How many people were there? What? Are you sure it was 13,000?
I swear to God, it was 13,000. Like, I think they raised 8,500 last year, and then they upped it this year. So it was 13,000. But yeah, so there's like a Santa's Grotto, and there's loads of stalls. They do a massive raffle, and we really pushed it this year. Like, we went to shopping centres and stuff and sold raffle tickets and everything. But yeah, no, we raised loads and loads of money for the school, so it was brilliant.
Well done. Oh, good work. There you go. Well, that's probably because you plugged it on my show as well. That's probably what made it such a massive success.
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah, my three listeners all turned up, I'm sure, sitting on Santa's lap.
Hi, yeah.
making them feel very uncomfortable. Well, thanks for coming on again, Jeannie. It's been a real pleasure. Congratulations on scoring three. She got three.
You're so mean to me. I'm never coming on again.
You'll be back next year with your Christmas sarnie combo. Say bye, Jeannie.
Bye, Jack. Take care.
Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. I like to recommend it every year at about this time. My two daughters are possibly the world's youngest podcasters. When they started, Juno definitely was. She was 2 at the time. Now she's 6, a bit older. They've been doing this podcast for nearly 4 years, would you believe? And there's over 170 episodes. They record it once a week. Each episode's only 10 minutes, and it's just two little girls talking about what they've been up to. Maybe there'll be a joke or two on there, a book review. It's a lot of fun. I think you'd enjoy it. You don't have to listen to it. But you know what? If you've got nothing better to do, why not? Check it out. I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. I'll put a link in the show notes. Maybe you can listen to it after this. If you're not listening to Festive Foreign Film Fans, of course. I tell you what, I've got another couple of recommendations. I'm going to do some plug-in of my stuff. I've got some merch. It's on tpublic.com.
And there's a few designs on there. Not many. I think I've only got four. One of them says, Merry Christmas, you beautiful people. One of them says, Merry Christmas, you know I love you. And another one is just the Total Christmas Podcast logo. And there's another one of Bar Humbug. It's a sheep with a speech bubble with a humbug in the speech. Anyway, someone's bought a t-shirt this year, actually. I get an email if I sell anything. Someone has actually bought a t-shirt. And do you know who bought it? The best dressed person in the world. That's who. Yeah, I mean, I don't make any money out of it because any money that comes through, I give to Save the Children. And I double it as well. I don't get a massive amount per t-shirt, I won't lie to you. But anything that comes in, I double it and then I give it to charity. So if you want me to give more money to charity, maybe go and buy a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or just a sticker. Or a mug. I don't know. Don't bother. Do what you got to do. Live your life. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just letting you know it's out there. That's all. You listen to the whole episode. You think, I've listened to the episode. Now I need the t-shirt. Maybe that's what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. I can't look in your brain. Even if I could look in your brain, I wouldn't be able to read your thoughts, would I? Goodness me. What do you want from me? Yeah, the other thing I want to plug is my book. It's called Thursday Night's Alright. It's by Jack Andrews. That's my pen name. And it's on Amazon. You've got to have a Kindle if you want to read it. And it's just my book. It'll cost you, I think it's $3. That's all. I sold about a dozen copies. I think it's great, but that's because it appeals to my humour. I also think it's probably one of the funniest books ever written, but again, that's because it appeals to my humour. If you want to check it out, I'll repeat the title for you. Thursday Night's Alright by Jack Andrews, and it's on Amazon. Yeah, it costs you $3. $3 of your hard-earned cash that you'll never see again. So there's that way of looking at it. Anyway, just thought I'd plug those things. You know, this time of year, I do get two more listeners. So I've got like five or six listeners. So yeah, I thought I'd mention it. I've got to say a big thank you to Stephen A. Mackay. Check out his books. Jeannie Mulligan, thanks for being part of the quiz. Bob Baker, of course, thanks for his two segments. And the wonderful Shelley and Frank Arnold, my dear friends. Thanks again for coming on the show. Remember to check out the pictures on Facebook, boys and girls. Also, boys and girls, I hope you haven't forgotten, if you haven't already been there, go to the Advent Calendar House podcast and listen to the December the 8th episode where Mike and I talk about Blackadder's Christmas Carol. Go and check it out. That's pretty much it. If you want to get in touch, oh, actually, you need to get in touch because I need your quiz score. So email me through your quiz score. The email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. You can go on the website, which I haven't updated for like 3 years now. That is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in about a week, I think. That's what I'm aiming for. One more episode before Christmas. I'll be back then. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry, happy Christmas.
Today was great. We did mean things, and we did them in style.